I chuckled. You didn't. I snuck out while you were snoring and picked up chicken, olive oil, and some spices. The only spices I could find in your cabinets were cinnamon and red pepper. Yeah, Mia was the cook of the house. They were all hers. She wanted to leave them here, but I snuck them into a box when she wasn't paying attention. Figured they'd go to waste here. I pulled her into my arms and brought her against my chest. How do you feel?
I'm still tired, but better. How long was I asleep?
I looked at my watch. About 6 hours. It's almost 4:30.
Oh, wow.
Are you hungry?
Yeah, actually I am.
I smiled. Good. I'll finish up and we can eat an early dinner. Ireland went to wash up and came back out looking around the room.
Did you see my phone? I think it broke during the accident. I tried to fiddle with it in the emergency room and it wouldn't turn on, but I'm hoping maybe it will come back to life when I charge it.
I pointed with a fork to a bag on the counter. I slipped it out of your bag while you were sleeping and picked you up a new one. It's in the box up there. They said they loaded everything from your old one, but you might want to check that because the sales clerk at Best Buy looked about 15, and the whole data transfer only took about 5 minutes.
Oh, you didn't have to do that.
I wanted to. Ireland was quiet throughout dinner. She still seemed off to me, but I'd never been in a serious accident before and figured it was probably normal to be shaken up a bit. After we ate, she called Mia to tell her what happened, and I could hear her freaking out through the phone. Later, Ireland was still quiet. Are you sure you're feeling okay? I asked. She looked away and nodded.
Want to watch a movie?
I smirked. Disney, sure. Ireland forced a smile.
Not tonight.
She sat down on the couch and started to scroll through Netflix, then Hulu, and finally HBO On Demand. Sighing, she extended the remote to me.
You pick something.
Second to porn, I preferred action movies, but I didn't think car chases and shit blowing up was the best thing to put on right now. Do you like Will Smith?
Yeah.
When in doubt, Will Smith. I pointed the remote to the TV and went back to Netflix. After a search by actor name, I said, pick one. She shrugged.
Any is fine.
I didn't want to keep on bugging her, but she really seemed off, almost depressed. The Pursuit of Happiness was the first movie on the list, so I picked that, even though I'd already watched it. I lifted Ireland's feet onto my lap and guided her to lie back so I could give her a foot rub. The movie was about a down-and-out dad who winds up homeless with his son while he takes a non-paying job in an attempt to make something of himself and better their future. It was a drama based on a true story, and parts of it were sad. But at one point, I looked over and found tears streaming down Ireland's face. She hadn't even made a sound. I grabbed the remote and put the movie on hold. Hey. I scooped her up from the couch and cradled her in my arms. What's going on? Are you okay? She nodded but kept looking down at her lap. I gave her some time, but she never made eye contact or started to talk, so I put two fingers under her chin and guided her face up to look at me. What I saw caused an ache in my chest. Her eyes were filled with pain, her face completely distraught. Talk to me. What's going on? Are you in pain? Are you having flashbacks to the accident? She started to cry even harder.
I don't want to lose you.
I brushed hair from her face and slid my hands down to cup her cheeks. Lose me? You're not going to lose me. Why would you think that? Ireland reached up and covered my hands at her cheeks with hers.
Grant, I'm...
What? She shook her head and closed her eyes.
I'm pregnant, Grant.
1 minute, I'm in her apartment, watching her sleep and thinking I should tell her I love her when she wakes up. And then the next, I'm out the door like the fucking coward I am. I didn't yell or argue. Maybe I was in a state of shock. I don't know. But I also couldn't console her or tell her everything was going to be okay. Because it wasn't. It wasn't fucking okay. I waited until after Ireland calmed down and then told her I needed to go. She wanted to know where I was going, but I had no idea. The truth was, I just needed to be anywhere but there. I motioned to the bartender by holding up my empty glass and rattling around the ice that hadn't had time to melt. Another one already? I took out my billfold and peeled off $300 bills. The $100 should cover all my drinks. Other two are for you if my glass is never empty. The bartender, who I'd started calling Joe, yet I wasn't sure if he had told me that was his name or I'd made it up in my head, refilled my glass. You got it. I sat at the bar and drank three more vodka tonics. I'd never been a big drinker, so four had me starting to see double, which was exactly the state I was going for. The dingy bar I'd wandered into a few blocks from Ireland's place had emptied out, except for an old guy parked at the other end of the bar. The bartender came over and took my glass, which was still about a quarter of the way full. He dumped out the ice and poured me a fresh one. Setting it in front of me, he leaned an elbow on the bar. For that kind of a tip, I also provide an ear to listen to the story about whatever went down that brought you here today. I lifted the newly filled glass and some of it sloshed on the bar. Maybe I'm just an alcoholic. Joe smirked. Nah, your tolerance is shit. Maybe I'm just broke and down on my luck. Nah, broke guys don't carry around a wad of hundreds and look like you do. And what exactly do I look like? Joe shrugged. Want the truth? Sure. He looked over the bar and sized me up. Clean pants, nice shoes, polo with that fancy whale embroidered on it, and a money clip. You look like a rich asshole who probably grew up with a silver spoon in his hand. I burst into laughter that wasn't the funny kind. Silver spoon. That was exactly what Ireland had said in that very first email that started it all. I drank more of my drink. Maybe you're both right. The bartender's brows drew together, though he didn't give a shit enough to ask what the hell I was talking about. So, not broke, not an alcoholic, that leaves the obvious. The reason half the guys come in here to get plastered. Trouble at home. Am I right? I grumbled. Something like that. The trouble with trouble is that it starts out disguised as fun. I'd never heard it put that way, but there was a lot of truth in that statement. You're a wise man, Joe. The bartender smiled. Name's Ben, but for $200 you can call me Shirley. I don't give a shit. I'm divorced twice and my advice probably isn't worth shit, but here it is anyway. If she makes you smile before you have coffee in the morning and you don't have to knock back a few drinks to get in the mood when she's around, she's a keeper. Get some flowers from the 24-hour bodega down the block and go home and apologize. Doesn't matter who was right or wrong. If only it were that simple. You're right, Joe. The bartender straightened up. So you're heading home? No, your advice isn't worth shit. Chapter 34. Where the hell am I? I lifted my head, and it felt like some of the skin on my cheek stayed on the thick plastic I'd been sleeping on. I rose up to an elbow and looked around. I was in some sort of a waiting room, and it looked industrial, but I had no fucking clue where I was or how the hell I'd gotten here. You're at Patton State Hospital, a deep voice said from nearby. Patton? What the fuck was I doing anywhere near this damn place? I followed the direction of the sound and found a well-dressed man sitting a few chairs away. He closed what looked like a chart he'd been working on and folded his hands on his lap. I'm Dr. Booth. The name rang a bell, but it took me a second to figure out why over the pounding in my head. I sat up and realized for the first time that I'd been sprawled out over a few folding chairs with plastic-covered cushioned bottoms. My hand reached for the side of my head once I was upright. Did I get hurt? Not that I'm aware of, other than what I suspect might be a little alcohol poisoning from overconsumption. Fuck, my head is really killing me. And what the hell was I doing at Patton? Do you know how I got here? The guard asked you that when you came in. You told him Uber. I went to nod, but raising my head and lowering it hurt too fucking much. I racked my brain trying to remember the events of last night. I remembered being at a bar, and I remembered some guy helping me to a car after he locked the door. Joe? Maybe his name was Joe. Yeah, that was it. He was the bartender, and I'd walked out with him at closing time. Damn. That means I was drinking until 4 in the morning. No wonder I don't remember shit. Did we meet earlier? I asked Dr. Booth. He smiled. No. This is the first time we've met. You came in about 5:30 this morning and asked to see one of my patients. All visits require the inmate's psychiatrist's approval. The guards knew you were drunk and turned you away. But they called me to let me know what had happened, and I asked them to let you sleep it off in the waiting room, at least until visiting hours start at noon. The hospital allows visitors 24 hours a day, but the correctional facility ward follows state prison protocol when it comes to letting people in. What time is it? He looked at his watch. 10:15. I raked a hand through my hair. Even touching the strands hurt. I take it you're Lily's doctor? He nodded. I am. Lily tried to get you to come see her for the first 4 years of her admission here. You never would respond to any of my messages or her letters, so I was curious what made you come by today. But by the time I got here, you were out cold. You've been sitting there for 4 hours waiting for me to wake up. He smiled. No. When I saw your condition, I made my morning rounds and told the guard to page me if you woke up. I came back after I finished to work on some of my charts. He pointed his eyes down to a stack of thick manila folders on the chair next to him. Why? Why what? Why did I ask the guards to let you sleep it off, or why am I here working on my charts? I shook my head. All of it. Well, like I said, I was curious about you, and Lily is still my patient. She's made great progress over the years, but I often learn things from family members that help me in treatment. When she was first admitted, she signed a release that all of her medical information could be discussed with you. Every year we go over her permissions on file. It's been 7 years and she still hasn't withdrawn permission for me to discuss her health with you. So I'm legally free to discuss her case. I thought it also might be helpful for me to understand why it was you were here to see her today. When was she first admitted? She wasn't admitted to the hospital, Doc. She was sentenced to 25 damn years, and you people keep her here to do easy time. She deserves to be locked in a cell, just like all the other murderers. I see. Did you come today to speak to her? I cleared my throat. My mouth was so damn dry. No. I have no desire to see her, or help her. I don't know what the hell I was thinking last night, or this morning, whenever I showed up. But it was a mistake. Dr. Booth examined my face and nodded. I understand. But perhaps you and I could still talk. He stood. How do you take your coffee? Let me at least give you some caffeine and Tylenol. It looks like you could use both. The thought of standing made me feel nauseous, much less jumping in a cab and taking the hour and a half ride back home. I rubbed the back of my neck. Yeah, all right. I could use some coffee before I get out of here. Black, please. The doc disappeared and came back a few minutes later with 2 styrofoam cups and a small packet of Tylenol. Thank you. He took a seat across from me and stayed quiet, watching me. I don't normally do this. Haven't tied one on like that since college. Dr. Booth nodded. Did something happen that set you off? Drinking and showing up here, I mean? Nothing that has to do with Lily. Or everything that has to do with my ex-wife. We can talk about whatever you like. Doesn't have to be about Lily. I scoffed. No, but I'm sure you'd psychoanalyze anything I say to relate it back to her. Isn't that what shrinks do? Find a cause for everything that happens so there's someone or something to blame other than their patient. A man murders another man while robbing him. His father molested him, so it's his father's fault. Not the crack he smoked an hour before because he's an addict. A woman kills her own child. She shouldn't be blamed because she's depressed. We're all fucking depressed at some point in our lives. Doc. The doc sipped his coffee. I wasn't planning on psychoanalyzing you. I figured if you were here, you could use someone to talk to. I'm not your doctor, but I'm a man. And you're a fellow man who seems in need. That's all. Well, now I felt like shit. I raked a hand through my hair. Sorry. It's fine. Trust me. I don't get offended easily. Hazard of the career. Most people who show up at my door aren't there because they want to be. Either the court or their family force their hand. It's not uncommon for me to be told to fuck off because I'm an asshole in the first 15 minutes of a session. I smiled. I'm usually good at holding my tongue for the first half hour of a meeting. Dr. Booth smiled back. May I ask you a personal question? I shrugged. Go for it. Doesn't mean I have to answer. He shook his head. No, it doesn't. Are you married? No. In a relationship? I thought of Ireland. I was, or am I? I don't fucking know. I've been seeing someone, yes. Are you happy? Another loaded question I couldn't answer easily. It's hard to be happy when you've lost a child. But yeah, Ireland makes me happy. I shook my head. For the first time in 7 damn years. Doc was quiet for a long time again. Is it possible you came today because you want forgiveness so you can move on? I felt the veins in my neck pulse with anger. Lily doesn't deserve forgiveness. Dr. Booth caught my eyes. I wasn't referring to Lily. Forgiveness is something you have to find within yourself. No one could give that to you. Yes, I believe your ex-wife suffers from bipolar disorder that caused her behavior to be manic, and that, coupled with severe postpartum depression, made her do something unthinkable. But you don't need to agree with me in order to find forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't excuse Lily's behavior. Forgiveness allows that behavior to not destroy your heart anymore. I tasted salt in the back of my mouth. I'd cried enough in the last 7 years. I wasn't about to sit in the same building my ex-wife breathed in and shed any more tears. I cleared my throat, hoping to swallow my emotions. I know you mean well, Doc, and I appreciate it. I really do. But Lily doesn't deserve forgiveness. I shook my head. I should really get going. Thanks for the coffee and Tylenol. I stood and extended my hand to Dr. Booth. When he clasped mine, he again looked into my eyes. I don't think you want to forgive Lily. I think you want to forgive yourself. You did nothing wrong, Grant. Give yourself that forgiveness and move on. Sometimes people don't allow themselves to forgive because they're afraid they'll forget. Forgive and forget. But you'll never forget Leilani. You just need to realize there's room in your heart for more than one person again. Tell her to stop writing the letters, Doc.
Chapter 35. Almost 2 weeks had passed, and yet it felt like a year. Between my construction and work, I had enough to keep me busy, but every time I passed the exit that led to the marina where Grant lived, it felt like ripping a band-aid off of a fresh wound. It was Saturday afternoon, and Mia and I were meeting for lunch at our favorite Greek restaurant. I'd gotten caught in traffic, so I arrived a few minutes late, and she'd already gotten a table. Hey, I slid into the booth across from her. Her face wrinkled up when she looked at me. Did you come from the gym? No, why? Mia frowned. No offense, but you sort of look like shit. I sighed. I didn't feel like doing my hair. I thought the messy bun was still in. It is, but yours looks more like a rat's nest. And your shirt has a giant stain on it, and either you have black eyes coming in or you didn't get all of yesterday's makeup off. I looked down at my sweatshirt. Sure enough, there was a giant round spot. I rubbed at it. I had a container of Ben and Jerry's for dinner last night. I missed my mouth a few times. Mia raised a brow. So you slept in that shirt? Shut up. I've seen you wear the same outfit for days when you're sick. That's because I'm sick. Are you? No. She made yet another disapproving face. I take it you still haven't heard from Grant? My shoulders slumped. No. Mia shook her head. I can't believe he turned out to be such a piece of shit. He's not a piece of shit. He just really didn't want children. Yes, and 5 years ago, I didn't ever want to get married. I really didn't want my mom to die at 59 last year either. This is life. We do our best to live it, but we can't be in control of everything.
I know, but having children is something we can control.
Did you take all of your pills?
Yes.
Did Grant wear a condom every time you had sex?
Yes.
Then obviously there are times we can't control it. Nothing in life is foolproof.
I know, but he has a good reason for being upset. A few days after Grant walked out, I'd unloaded everything on Mia, from my pregnancy to the reason I'd found out he didn't want children.
Of course he does. He's experienced an unthinkable trauma. I understand that. So he deserved a little time to be shocked and upset. But it's been almost 2 weeks now. What is he going to do? Pretend he doesn't have a child and this entire thing doesn't exist?
I'd been wondering the same thing lately. The first few days he didn't call or come by, I understood why he was upset. But at what point did he plan on dealing with the reality of our situation? I'd been so certain he'd come around, even if he didn't want to be with me or want to be involved with this baby's life. I thought he would at least own up to it and we'd talk. But the past few days, I'd started to lose the last shred of confidence in him, hence the ice cream dinners.
Can we just not talk about it today? I need a day off from dealing with everything. Let's stuff our faces and go to the movies like we planned and eat buttered popcorn with snow caps until we feel nauseous.
Mia nodded.
Of course, sure. But can I say one more thing? And it's not really about Grant.
I smiled. So, Mia. Sure. Her face lit up as her lips curved.
I went off the pill.
My eyes widened.
Really? I thought you and Christian wanted to wait a year or two before having kids.
We did, but things change. I've been thinking about it since the day you told me you were pregnant.
Then, a few days ago, Christian came into the bathroom while I was brushing my teeth. You know my routine in the morning. Teeth, then pill. He looked at them in my hand and said, I can't wait until you're pregnant. The thought of you with a big belly just turns me on like you wouldn't believe. So I turned around and said, I could stop taking them now. I guess I expected him to backtrack. It's one thing to say you're looking forward to seeing your wife pregnant, and another to want that to be next month. But he took the pills out of my hand and tossed them in the garbage. Then we had a quickie on the bathroom sink.
I laughed.
Well, it would be awesome to have kids around the same age. But are you ready for that?
She picked up an olive from the dish in the middle of the table and popped it into her mouth.
I don't think anyone's ever ready for kids. But yeah, I don't really want to wait.
I took Mia's hands.
I love you, my crazy friend.
I know you want to stop talking about this, so I promise this is the last thing I'll say today. She squeezed my hand.
I will be here for you every step of the way, holding your hair back through morning sickness if you have it, getting fat with you, even if I'm not pregnant, and by your side in the delivery room if you'll have me. There is nothing you'll be alone for.
I felt my eyes watering and fanned my face with my hand.
Thank you. And now let's move on. I refuse to cry anymore. You got it.
She picked up her menu and pointed to the waiter heading our way.
Do you think that's a banana he's carrying?
I turned to see what the waiter had in his hands just as he arrived at the table, though I had no idea what the hell she was talking about. The only thing he had was a small pad and pencil. I ordered first and waited for Mia to order. But picking up my menu to hand it to him, I came face to face with his crotch and realized she hadn't been talking about anything in his hands. It was in his pants. My eyes widened, and I had to lift the menu back up to my face to hide my smile. Seriously, the man either had an erection or had to be stuffing. I cracked up and had to force it into a cough so I didn't laugh in the waiter's face while I handed him back the menu.
Are you okay?
He asked. I grabbed the water off the table and brought it to my lips.
Fine, just swallowed down the wrong pipe.
After he left, the two of us laughed for a solid 5 minutes. It was the first time in almost 2 weeks that I'd really laughed, and it made me feel like maybe, just maybe, I could get through this on my own, if I had to. The tile in my bathroom came out beautifully. I'd just finished sweeping up after the contractor left and stood admiring it. The tumbled marble that the guy in Home Depot had recommended gave off a rustic look that really went with the lake house feel I was going for. Unfortunately, Thinking of that contractor reminded me of Grant. He'd been jealous of the construction guy who was just being nice at that store. How did one go from being jealous to disappearing from someone's life in the span of a few weeks? And don't even get me started with the fooling around that had gone on in this room when he'd spent the day helping me. Everything reminded me of Grant. My apartment, work, even the construction of my home. Unconsciously, I reached down and covered my belly. Realizing what I'd done, I sighed. He was everywhere, even inside me. How the hell was I supposed to escape it? My head hurt from so much thinking, and my heart ached in my chest. I'd decided if I didn't hear from Grant by tomorrow morning, which would be 2 full weeks, I was going to go see him in his office. If we weren't going to be a couple, that was one thing, but I needed to know if he planned to be in his child's life. I looked around the bathroom one last time and switched off the light. I emptied the dustpan into the garbage bag in the kitchen and set the broom against the door. The last of the day's sun streaked in through the adjoining living room windows, and I thought I might walk down to the lake to watch it set. Yet another thing that reminded me of Grant, though I refused to let him take the beauty out of a sunset for me. My land was about 3 blocks from the lake, but it was a straight walk down a paved road. One of the nearby lakefront parcels hadn't been sold yet, so I sat down on the grass at the lake's edge on that property and watched as the sky turned shades of orange. I shut my eyes, took a few deep breaths, and wrapped my arms around my knees. I heard a jingle behind me, but was so lost in my head that I didn't register the sound until I was nearly knocked over by a dog. The most adorable golden retriever puppy started to lick my face. It made me smile and laugh. "Aren't you cute? Where did you come from?" A few seconds later, the answer came. "Down, boy." I froze, hearing Grant's deep voice behind me. I couldn't bring myself to turn around until I felt the vibration of footsteps next to me on the ground. "Grant?" Just seeing his face made my heart beat wildly. I reached up to cover it and felt the thumping underneath. "Sorry," he said. "I didn't mean to startle you."
"What are you doing here?"
"I came to talk to you. I saw your car at the house, but needed a minute to clear my head."
He thumbed behind him.
"So I parked here. I didn't mean to interrupt you. When I opened my car door, he jumped over me and took off like a bandit running this way."
"He? Meaning the dog came with you?"
He nodded. "Yeah, he's mine." The dog spotted some birds a few yards away and took off chasing them. "I better get him on his leash."
Grant followed, managing to hook the dog's collar as he jumped up on him. I watched, feeling so confused. He has a puppy? When did that happen? He walked back with the dog on a long leash, and for the first time, I took in how he looked. My reaction was probably similar to Mia's when she got a load of me the other day. Grant looked terrible, or as terrible as he possibly could, which at the moment really pissed me off because his terrible was still a shitload better than most men's best. He had dark circles under his eyes, his hair was disheveled, clothes were a wrinkled mess, and his skin had a sallow tone to it. My first instinct was to ask if he was okay, but then I remembered how okay I hadn't been the last couple of weeks and how much he'd cared. So I turned back around and faced the lake. "What do you want?" I said. He was quiet, but I felt him standing behind me.
"Do you mind if I sit?"
I picked a blade of grass from in front of me and threw it. "Whatever." Grant sat down next to me. His dog started to dig a hole a few feet away, and we both stared. I refused to look at him, even though I felt the pull I always experienced when I was near him, since right from the start.
"How are you feeling?"
he asked softly. My lips pursed together. "Alone, scared, disappointed, let down." I felt his eyes on my face, but still didn't turn my head.
"Ireland," he whispered. "Look at me, please."
I turned with my best icy glare, but one look in his eyes and I softened. God, I'm an idiot.
"I'm so sorry." The pain in his voice was palpable. "I'm so fucking sorry for running away."
My eyes filled with tears, but I still refused to shed any for him, so I blinked and looked down until I could force them back.
"There's no excuse for what I did, but I'd like to tell you about Leilani,
if that's okay. It doesn't justify the way I treated you, but it might help you understand why I did what I did.
He had my attention now. I looked over at him with a sad smile and nodded. Grant took a few minutes to collect his thoughts and then spoke softly.
Leilani May was born on August 4th. She was 8 pounds, 4 ounces.
He smiled.
8'4" on 8'4". She had big blue eyes that were so dark they were almost purple. Pops nicknamed her Indigo because of it. She had a mop of dark hair that looked like a wig.
He paused, and I suddenly forgot all of my anger. Reaching over, I took his hand and squeezed. She sounds beautiful. Grant cleared his throat and nodded.
The only time she really cried was when she needed to be changed, and she loved to be swaddled so tightly she couldn't move her arms.
He paused.
And she loved it when I would sniff her feet and tell her she smelled. They say most babies aren't really smiling until they're a few months old, that it's just a reflex. But Leilani, she smiled at me.
Grant got quiet again. This time it was him who looked away. He stared out to the lake and setting sun. I watched his face go from warm to somber, so I knew I needed to brace for the next part of his story. His voice was barely a whisper when he started talking again.
I've told you that Lily was a foster care placement with my family. Over the years, she bounced around back and forth from her mother's house to ours. Her mom suffered from mental illness, and the state would intervene and remove her at least once a year when her mom went off her meds. Lily was always different, but I didn't recognize it for what it was until we were older. And by then, it was too late. I was all in with her.
A pang of jealousy chimed inside of me, even though it was ridiculous. Grant hung his head.
Doctors say she's bipolar like her mom. And that, mixed with postpartum depression, made her.
He shook his head, and his voice cracked.
She.
Oh my God, no. Grant had said there was an accident, but no. Not this. Please, God, no. Don't make him have endured something so inconceivable. I crawled from my spot to kneel between his knees and cupped his cheeks in my hands. His eyes were closed, but tears streamed down his face. He swallowed, and the look of pain he wore sliced right through me. It felt like someone had stabbed a knife into my chest. Grant shook his head.
We were arguing. I fell asleep. I should have known better. When I woke up, Lily was sitting on the deck crying, and Leilani was gone.
She threw. He started to sob. I pulled him into my arms.
Shh,
it's okay. It's okay. You don't need to say anymore. I'm so sorry, Grant. I'm so, so sorry. We stayed that way for a long time, both of us crying and holding each other as if our lives depended on it. In the moment, I thought maybe his did. Maybe he needed to get this out in order for his life to move forward. Eventually, he pulled back and looked into my eyes.
I'm sorry I walked out on you. You didn't deserve that. And I'll never do it again, I promise.
I was such an emotional wreck. I was afraid to believe he was telling me any more than he'd said. Afraid to get my hopes up that his apology was a promise of a future and not just an explanation of the past. He looked into my eyes.
I'm so sorry, Ireland. I've felt buried these last 7 years, buried in darkness in the ground, until I met you. You made me feel like maybe I hadn't been buried after all, but planted in the ground, waiting to grow again.
I gulped in a breath of air to stop the last of my crying. Please don't apologize anymore. I understand. I'm sorry this happened to us and stirred up all these difficult memories. Grant shook his head.
No, don't say that. Don't be sorry you're pregnant. I'm not.
You're not? He shook his head again.
I'm scared shitless. I don't feel like I deserve another child. I'm worried something will happen again. But I'm not sorry you're having my baby.
Hope bloomed inside of me. Are you sure? Grant pulled my face to his until our noses were touching.
I love you, Ireland. I think I did from the very first time you gave me an attitude in that coffee shop. And I've tried to fight it every step of the way, but it's physically impossible for me not to love you. Trust me, I tried as hard as I could. I'm done fighting it. I want to love you.
All of my tears came flooding back. Only this time, some happy ones were mixed in. I love you too. Grant's dog finished digging his hole and started to try to lick my face again. I sniffled and laughed.
Your dog is as pushy as you.
He's not my dog. I pulled back.
What? But you have his leash and said he was.
Spuds is your dog, if you'll have him.
Spuds. Oh my God. He remembered what I'd said I wanted. 2 or 3 little ones close in age. Maybe a golden retriever named Spuds. A real full house. We sat on the grass, kissing and saying I love you to each other over and over. Eventually, the sun was gone and the stars came out. I could barely see the lake anymore. Grant stroked my hair.
I went to visit Leilani every day over the last week. Some days I'd sit leaning against her headstone from dusk until dawn. It wasn't pretty. I definitely scared away a few people visiting nearby graves. But I hadn't been there since her funeral. I just couldn't bring myself to go. Instead, I stayed on that damn boat, so every day I was reminded of the worst day of my life. It was impossible to move on living where it happened. I was keeping the memory of my daughter alive, but none of the good ones I should have been focusing on.
He paused and took a deep breath.
One morning, I ended up at the prison psychiatric hospital where Lily lives, and I talked to her doctor. I've been so lost for so long, and I guess I thought I needed something from them to move on. But it turned out I don't. I need something from you.
I looked into Grant's eyes. Anything? What can I do?
He smiled, a crooked, adorable half-smile that told me he'd expected my response. Give me another chance.
A beam of sun streaking through a window directly onto my face woke me on the floor. Naked and confused, I squinted and shielded my eyes while reaching down for the blanket at my waist. Memories of the night before came flooding back, and a goofy smile spread across my face. Grant and I had spent half the night talking, and half the night making up for the last 2 weeks of not being able to touch each other. For as long as I lived, I'd never forget the look in his eyes when he told me he loved me as he pushed inside of me. The words making love had been just that, words, before last night. But we'd connected in such a way that it truly felt like we became one. Which made me wonder, why wasn't my other half lying next to me anymore? I wrapped the blanket around my body and went in search of Grant. I found him and Spuds on the front porch. He turned as I creaked the door open.
Morning.
I smiled. Good morning. What time is it?
About 10.
Yikes. You must have been up for hours already.
Nope. Slept until 9.
He lifted a styrofoam cup from next to him, one that matched the one in his hands.
Went to the store up the road and got us coffees. Yours is decaf, though it might be a little cold by now.
Oh, thanks. I'll drink it cold. I don't care. I sat down next to him on the top step of my porch, and he leaned over and kissed my forehead while I peeled back the top of the container.
Does that mean you missed the sunrise? I asked. I did. Slept right through it.
He smiled. You'll have to catch the sunset, then. Grant shook his head.
As much as I like you in that blanket, drink a little of your coffee and go put some clothes on. I want to show you something.
I swallowed a few mouthfuls and went in search of my clothes. I found them scattered from the kitchen to the living room and smiled as I went to the bathroom to change. Spuds followed and waited outside the bathroom door.
Where are we going?
Just for a walk.
All right. But it better not be too far, or you might have to carry me. I have no energy after last night.
Grant looked over and grinned.
I plan to keep you that way, thoroughly fucked and smiling.
We walked hand in hand down to the open lot at the lake where we'd sat last night. When we got to the edge of the water, Grant looked around.
This would be a nice spot for a house.
It would be. I actually looked at this plot before buying mine. But it's ridiculously expensive. He nodded.
I know. I just bought it.
I blinked a few times.
You what?
I called an hour ago and made an offer.
They called back 5 minutes before you woke up and accepted. I don't understand.
Grant took both my hands.
You wanted this property. I want to give it to you, if you'll let me. I'd like to build a house on it. One with a big fenced yard and a bunch of bedrooms we can spend the next few years filling.
Are you serious?
I am.
Grant's smile fell.
I've been living on that boat for 7 years. Every day it ripped my heart out to step onto the back deck and remember. I need to move. Leilani will always be a part of my life, but there's room in my heart for more than one.
Oh my God, Grant. I wrapped my arms around his neck. But what about my house?
Sell it. Or rent it. Or maybe just keep it, and we can use it to sneak away when the kids are driving us nuts someday. You are kind of loud, and I don't want that to have to change.
I laughed. Keep a whole house just so we don't need to have sex quietly? You're insane.
We'll figure it out. We have plenty of time. It'll take us a while to build something anyway.
Oh my God, I just envisioned your house being done before my house. Grant leaned in and brushed his lips with mine.
That's not possible.
Why not?
Because there is no my house. There's only our house.
I smiled. I love you.
Love you too.
He pulled back and bent to kiss my belly.
And I love you too.
After we kissed, I had to come back to reality. I have a lot of work to do this afternoon. Would you want to come hang out at my apartment for the day while I get it done? We can get takeout, maybe?
Can you bring your work to my condo?
I shrugged. I guess. I just need my laptop and some files. Did you want to watch the sunset from there or something? Grant looked into my eyes.
Nope. Just figured I'd make my girl and our baby a good meal. Then, rather than watching the sunset, I'm planning on watching the face you make while I lick your entire body.
I liked the sound of that, but you missed the sunrise this morning. I thought you watched either a sunset or a sunrise every day as a reminder that good things in life can be simple. Grant cupped my cheeks.
That was the past. I realize now that not all the good things in life are simple. Some of the best things are complicated, but beautiful and worth all the risk. I don't need to watch every sunrise or sunset for a reminder that good exists anymore. I have you.
Chapter 36. Ireland took my hand. The doctor had just done an exam and said everything seemed fine. But since it was our 2-month checkup, he wanted to do a sonogram to see if he could hear the baby's heartbeat. I watched as Dr. Warren squeezed a dollop of gel onto Ireland's flat stomach and started to move a wand around. Shadows flashed on the screen across from me, and all three of us stared at the monitor. The doctor zoned in, pushing down a little more firmly on the wand, and suddenly a sound began to echo throughout the room. A heartbeat. My baby has a heartbeat. Ireland had been reading to me from her What to Expect While You're Expecting book, which said the early months of pregnancy produced a surge of hormones that made many women more emotional than usual. But the damn book failed to mention that the father-to-be would get all choked up. My eyes welled, and it was impossible to hold back the tears, no matter how hard I tried. Ireland squeezed my hand and smiled. Fuck it, who cares if I'm a total pussy? I didn't want to fight it anymore. I let the tears flow as I leaned down and kissed my girl's forehead. 7 years ago, my own heartbeat stopped, and today mine found its purpose again. I wanted to take Ireland in my arms and dance with her to the rhythm of our baby's magical beat. The doctor pressed a button and a few inches of the heartbeat printed out from the machine. Heartbeat sounds good, strong. I'm just going to do a few quick measurements and I'll have you out of here. He turned a knob on the machine and the heartbeat disappeared. I felt a stab of panic. Could you leave it on until you finish the exam? I asked. Dr. Warren smiled. Sure thing. He clicked around and printed out a few more sheets over the next 5 minutes. When he finished, he gave Ireland a paper towel to wipe off her stomach. Nodding, he said, "Measurements look really good. We can see you back here in a month, and hopefully you'll continue to have a morning sickness-free pregnancy." He extended one of the little slips of paper with the baby's heartbeat he'd printed from the sonogram machine. Thought you might like to keep this, Dad. I would. Thanks. Sorry about getting emotional. He waved me off. No need to apologize. This is a big time in your life with a lot of change. Give in and go with the moment. Enjoy the happy times, even if they come with a few tears. I will. Thanks, Doc. Dr. Warren closed the door behind him, and Ireland started to get dressed. I'd been doing a lot of thinking lately and decided that Doc's advice was spot on. I needed to go with the moment, and this moment had never felt so right. The fact that I had the box in my pocket made it seem like destiny, if you asked me. Ireland buttoned her pants and wadded up the paper gown she'd been wearing. She turned to toss it in the garbage, and when she turned back around, I was down on one knee. Her eyes grew wide, and her hands flew up to cover her mouth. "What are you doing?" I dug into my pocket and pulled out a dingy, old white box. "I'd planned to give this to you in a few weeks, not today. But you heard what the doctor said. Give in and go with the moment."
"Grant, oh my God."
I took her hand and held up the box. "This was my grandmother's ring. I was going to get the stone reset for you and put it in a nice new box. But," I shook my head, "but I didn't want to wait. The moment feels right." I opened the old box and showed Ireland the contents. It wasn't the biggest ring or the shiniest, but it was filled with so much history and hope. "Last week, after we went to tell Pops about the baby, my grandmother called the next day and asked me to come by alone. The two of them sat me down and told me they wanted me to give this to you when the time was right. It was my great-grandmother's, then my grandmother's, and then my mother's. It's beautiful, Grant. The funny thing is, I never knew my mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother had all shared the same ring. My mom had passed away before I married Lily, and they hadn't given me the ring then. I was curious why now, so I asked. You know what the response was?"
"What?"
I held up the tiny paper the doc had given me. "Pop said you had given me a heartbeat again, and he knew you were my forever." Ireland started to cry.
"That's beautiful."
I took the ring out of the box. "Ireland St. James. I know we've known each other for less than a year, but I never thought I'd find someone to love the way I love you. I didn't just fall in love with you. I fell in love with life with you by my side. So will you marry me? We can get a different ring or set a date a year from now if you're not ready. None of it's important. All I want to know is that you'll spend the rest of your life with me." Ireland practically knocked me over, wrapping her arms and body around me.
"Yes, yes, I will. And the ring is beautiful. I don't need anything else. And I don't need a year. All I need is you."
Chapter 37. I sat on the back deck of Leilani by myself. The bay was eerily quiet this afternoon, which seemed fitting right about now. I felt the same strange calm as the water, even though I'd expected to feel just the opposite on this day. Saying goodbye to this boat was so much more than leaving a place I'd lived for years. Though she wasn't going anywhere, not as long as Pop still wanted to visit her. But it was time for me to move on. Time to stop starting and ending my day with the memories that would forever haunt me. And time to start making new ones, ones filled with happiness. There was just one more thing I needed to do. I took a deep breath and picked up the pen and paper I'd left out when I packed the last of my things. A sealed envelope sat on the bench next to me, one of thousands I'd received and thrown out over the years. But today, when my daily letter arrived, I tucked it into my pocket rather than tossing it into the trash. I didn't intend to read it, but I needed the return address today. More than 3,000 of these envelopes had to have come and gone since I first met Lily at 14. I'd had the power to stop them at any time, yet I never did. And now I wasn't sure why. Maybe I wanted the daily reminder as part of my punishment. Maybe I wanted Lily to have the same daily reminder of what she'd done every time she picked up a pen. Maybe I was just so fucked in the head, I was afraid I wouldn't think about my daughter without that daily letter. I don't know. But whatever the reason, today was the day it came to an end. I looked around one last time, imagining Lily standing on the deck that night. I had seen that image in my mind 1,000 times before. Squeezing my eyes tight, I swallowed back the taste of salt in my throat before finally lifting the pen to the paper. Lily, I don't know how to forgive you. Maybe by now I should have found God or something, found some way to accept what you've done and make peace with the idea that it wasn't your fault. But I haven't. That's not what this letter is about. I need to tell you I'm sorry. I'm sorry I fell asleep that night. I'm sorry I didn't see the depth of what you were going through and take Leilani far away. I'm sorry I put what you needed above what our little girl needed. I'm sorry I didn't see it coming. I'm sorry I didn't protect our little girl. I fucked up. I fucked up, Lily. I've spent the last 7 years avoiding anyone I might love. Because I thought when you fall in love, you become blind to that person's flaws and only see what you want to. I was afraid of not seeing who someone is again. I thought I could control who I loved. Until Ireland. Ireland made me realize we don't have a choice who we fall in love with. We fall in love by chance. But staying in love and making it work isn't something that happens by chance. That's a choice. And I've chosen to love Ireland. Because of that, I'm writing today to tell you I've fallen in love with someone else and to ask you to stop writing. Who knows? Maybe it will help you move on too. I wish I could tell you I found a way to forgive you. But I haven't yet. Maybe someday that will happen. It's not something I can force. I have a long way to go and a lot of healing to do. But I've decided that forgiving myself might be the best place to start. So while I'm not able to fully open my heart and grant you forgiveness, I'm asking you to forgive me. I need to move on. I want to stop hating myself and work toward finding peace. That starts with us. Please forgive me. Someday I hope to return the gift of forgiveness. No more letters. Goodbye, Lily. Grant.
Epilogue. 15 months later. I still can't believe you did all this. I looked out the window and watched a team of people stringing lights from palm trees and laying a wooden dance floor over the sand. Grant came up behind me and wrapped his arms around my waist. He kissed my bare shoulder.
You don't make it easy to surprise you.
Grant and I had gotten married when I was 5 months pregnant. A big party wasn't important to either of us, and I didn't want to walk down the aisle with a giant bump. So we'd gone down to City Hall and quietly made it official. But he'd always felt guilty that we didn't have a big celebration. So for our 1 year wedding anniversary, Grant surprised me with a trip to the Caribbean to renew our vows. I had no idea when I walked into the hotel that he'd flown all of our friends and family down, too. And now a staff of 20 was busy preparing for a sunset vow renewal in a setting I'd once described to him as my ideal wedding, palm trees lit with tea lights on the beach at sunset. He'd even arranged for Mia and me to go to a wedding shop on the island and pick out dresses when we'd arrived 2 days ago. Which wasn't easy, considering Mia was 6 months pregnant herself now. I turned in my husband's arms and wrapped my hands around his neck. This is amazing. Thank you for doing all this. I still can't get over how you pulled it off without my knowing. He rubbed my bottom lip with his thumb.
Anything for this smile. Plus, I had an ulterior motive. Since Mia is right next door, she's going to keep Logan for us tonight. I haven't had you all to myself in a long time.
It always comes back to sex with you, doesn't it? I teased.
I'm still making up for lost time, sweetheart.
When I was 7 months pregnant with Logan, I went into premature labor. The doctors were able to stop it, but they put me on bed rest and restricted all sexual activity. That meant we had gone the 2 months before delivery and 6 weeks after delivery without sex. Grant wasn't kidding when he said he was still trying to make up for the lost time. We'd been like horny teenagers the last few months. Which was why I had a surprise for him today, too. I have something to show you, I said. Grant flashed a wicked grin and squeezed my ass.
I have something to show you, too.
I chuckled. I'm being serious. My husband took my hand and slid it from around his neck, down over a steely erection, guiding my fingers to grip.
I'm serious, too.
I'd picked up a pregnancy test while Mia and I were out shopping on the island yesterday and saved the stick to surprise Grant. He was an amazing father to our son, Logan, but I was still a little nervous to tell him because of the reaction he'd had the first time I'd gotten pregnant. It was silly, I knew that, especially since we'd agreed to not use birth control and spent a lot of time practicing making a baby. But nonetheless, I wanted to get it off my chest. Sit for a minute. I'll be right back. Grant pouted, but released me so I could go to the bathroom. I'd hidden the test in my makeup case under the sink in the plastic bag it had come in. Tucking it into my shorts pocket, I walked back to the bedroom and found Grant taking off his t-shirt. My heart squeezed, seeing the tattoo he'd gotten inked onto his chest a few days before our wedding last year. I brushed my finger across it. Grant had gotten the printout of Logan's first heartbeat, the one the doctor had handed him during our very first sonogram, tattooed onto his chest, along with the words from the sign that hung above my bed. No rain, no flowers. I kissed the tattoo. I love this today as much as the day you got it. But something is off. I think you're going to need to go back and add a little ink to fix it. Grant's brows drew together as he looked down at his chest. He pulled at the skin to get a better look.
What's wrong with it?
I took the stick from my pocket. It only has one baby's heartbeat. Grant's forehead wrinkled and his eyes quickly went wide.
You're...
I nodded. Pregnant again. Grant shut his eyes, and for a few long seconds, I held my breath. When he opened them, it only took one look to see the joy in his eyes. He smiled.
You're pregnant.
My wife is pregnant again. I smiled. Yeah, that's what happens when your husband is insatiable. Grant lifted me off my feet and swung me around.
I love you, pregnant. I love your big belly and your big tits. I even love shaving your legs for you when you can't bend down anymore. You gave me life again, Ireland, and you being pregnant is proof of that.
That's the sweetest thing anyone has ever said to me. Well, minus the tits comment. Grant smiled.
Good, because it's the truth. Now get your pregnant ass on the bed so I can give you my gift.
We renewed our vows barefoot in front of all of our friends and family at sunset. Pop stood by Grant's side as his best man, and Mia stood next to me with one hand holding her growing belly. Leo, who now lived with us, held our son in his arms in the first row. He'd moved in 4 months ago when his aunt had suffered a stroke that left her unable to care for him. The court granted us temporary custody, but if we had anything to do with it, he'd be with us forever. Toward the end of the ceremony, the pastor officiating said, "At this time, the groom would like to give his wife a new ring as a sign of his love and commitment." I leaned to Grant. "I thought we weren't exchanging new rings." He winked.
"We aren't. I don't need to. But I wanted you to have something to remember today."
Grant turned to Pops and whispered,
"Psst, Pops, in your pocket."
Pops's face wrinkled up. He seemed to be having a moment. That had happened more and more frequently over the last few months. Grant whispered again,
"You have the box in your pocket."
Still confused, Pops scanned his surroundings. Our friends and family in the audience were all watching and waiting. Turning back, he looked at me holding hands with Grant and smiled.
"Hey, Charlize."
I smiled back. "Hi, Pops. How you doing?" Grant chuckled.
"Always distracted by the pretty girls. The box is in the left side of your suit jacket, Pops. Can I have it?"
"Box?"
"Yeah, in your suit jacket."
"Oh, you want the..."
Pops snapped his fingers.
"Damn it. What is it called again?"
Snap, snap.
"You want the..."
Snap, snap.
"You want your balls!"
Everyone started to laugh, including both of us. Grant walked over and slipped his hand into his grandfather's suit pocket, pulling out a black box.
"Nah, she can keep my balls, Pops. She's had them since the first day we met. I just want the ring."
This has been Inappropriate, written by Vi Keeland, narrated by Andy Arndt and Sebastian York. Copyright and production copyright 2020 by Vi Keeland.
Production coordination by Lyric Audiobooks. Andy Arndt and Sebastian York are members of SAG-AFTRA. For more information and to be added to the author's mailing list, visit vikeeland.com.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.